CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Fine edition of my so-called 8-bit life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today from her weird, strange puppet lair in Puppet Town, Jackie Hearn. How's it going, Jackie?
Oh, it's going great.
Have you ever been referred to as your strange puppet lair in Puppet Town?
No.
Can we declare that that's where your studio is? Like recording live.
It doesn't
Muppet
have
Town.
A name, so that's great. I don't know.
Because you can't say Muppet Town because Muppet Town is Muppets are copywritten, and puppets are free.
Oh, and I don't.
And
do
Toontown and Toontown
puppets.
is already a thing.
I want to. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll call it Puppet Town because Puppet Town I think is totally in public domain. I think no one's taking Puppet Town.
Won't you take me to?
Why is you? Who sung that song? Who fucking did Funky Town?
I'd have to. Chic?
No. Yeah, I think it was Chic. I think it was LaFreak. Was it LaFreak or LaChic? It was like something.
No, that's Chic, definitely. Oh, freak out the Chic.
Let's see. Who did?
But no, won't you take me to Funky Town?
Let's do Funky Town. Let's see who did it. Lips Inc. apparently did Funky Town.
Oh, okay. See, yeah, that's funny.
No, it's okay. I didn't know. That's why
I always
like,
think everything is Chic. So.
I mean, there's a lot. Well, because there's a lot out of that era that are of like the same bands or the same people. There's another really. We're talking about documentaries earlier in the pre-show. There's a really good doc. I think it's called The Wrecking Crew.
Where, oh gosh, yeah, that's so good.
Where basically it's a documentary on all of the.
The real artists?
Yeah, and for those who have no idea what we're talking about, so back around the eras of the 60s and 70s, musicians played their instruments, and that happened. But there were better musicians out there. And so sometimes when you were a musician and you wanted a sound that was awesome, you got basically session players, these sort of guys that just played, you know, for whatever they wanted to do and whatever they got hired to do.
Yep, and they basically come in, clock in, and what are we recording today? Oh, we're recording the Beach Boys. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, Pet Sounds, one of the quintessential Beach Boys, one of the quintessential albums in terms of music, especially popular culture music, was all session. That was all because of – what was the lead guy from Beach Boys? What was his name?
Oh, man. Brian Wilson?
Brian Wilson. That was all Brian Wilson's design.
I just took a guess.
No, that was all Brian.
Actually, the only name I know.
No, that's why. He's the lead guy. That's why you know his name. He is.
Well, because I had a coworker whose name was Brian Wilson, and that's how I learned.
Okay, that's still – but again, it's
– But yeah, okay.
He's the main – you know, it's like you may not know the rest of the members of Rolling Stones, but you know Mick Jagger because – It's Mick Jagger, yeah. You know him,
right.
And that kind of thing. And so, but yeah, Brian Wilson did a lot of and one half of the team recently died. But Steely Dan had a ton of session artists and all of their stuff. I mean, Asia is purely that. I mean, it's. I think the only weird thing that I love about Steely Dan and that era of music is is the guy from – I have to look up his name because I always forget it. But the guy from Doobie Brothers. What's his name?
I don't know.
I always get it wrong, so I have to always double check. It is because he was this – let's see. I think he's Michael McDonald.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Michael McDonald is probably one of my favorite concepts musicians because you know how many places you would hear Michael McDonald's voice in music. Like there was like not just Doobie Brothers, but like there was a point because
I know him better as a I don't. Never mind.
No, it's okay.
But I mean, yeah.
Well, because I have to imagine with Michael McDonald, and I think they made it. I almost want to believe they either made an SNL joke for this, or a joke somewhere with the idea of Michael McDonald's career, like almost a Monty Python thing where he's like running between studios to do certain things. Because like there's those songs that like I would hear the voice and I'd be like, you know, as a kid, I wouldn't know who the hell it was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Because like he's in like the background of songs like he's in the background of some Steely Dan songs for some reason. He comes up in like a David Cross's Ride Like the Wind. Like he's the voice that does that. Such a long way to go. Like it's just such a weird.
You said David Cross. I was like, what?
Yeah, not David Cross. not David. David Cross is the comedian. The other Cross. What's his?
Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross. Chris Cross. Okay. Not Chris Cross. Christopher Cross. Chris Cross was a hip hop act in the 90s that did Jump. And it was Mac Daddy, and I always forget the other guy's name. Let's see. Mac Daddy make you jump.
You're being too hard on yourself.
Because it's like it's weird things I need to remember. But yeah, like he would show up just randomly as a background voice. Like I almost want to.
Sting did that a lot.
Sting did that a lot too, and I almost want to believe that they were like at the studio doing something else, and they were like, "Hey, Chris, how's it going?" Or "Hey,
we need your voice right here."
Hey,
in this part.
Would you mind just putting a temp track here just so we could have something to splice in, not knowing it's going to be in the final cut, because like people have said, you know, that was the reason why like Doobie Brothers during that era just kind of became nothing, because Michael McDonald's voice just became everywhere and it just oversaturated the market.
Oh, wow. I could see that.
But it's weird. It's funny always thinking about like the music and all that kind of stuff. What have you been up to, Jackie? How's life?
Insane. You know, I think I was saying to you before the show, I've had a really interesting summer, and it's been to the point where, you know, I've had to tell people a few things of what's going on, and only because I want them to understand why I'm like not available or something, and without hurting someone's feelings or whatever. And it gets to the point where you just stop telling people everything. You know, it's been one of those summers because, you know, we all got problems. And
well, not to give too much about what your day job is, but a lot of it has to deal with.
So imagine stressed out Jackie Hearn being shoved into Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm trying to say. Is a lot, you know, not to tell too much of what you do, but a lot of it has to sometimes do with disaster recovery of.
Yes, of records and information. I'll say that. Exactly. Not people. Because, you know, people have had a few people say, you know, hey, I really appreciate the work you do. And I'm like, well, I'm not saving lives.
Like, thank you for appreciating for me making sure that records are alive, but we could digitize that later.
You get a paper cut. I don't know what to do. Okay. Like, I'm not one of those great, wonderful first responders. I am a third responder, I would say. Basically, with my job, I can't go and I won't go into an area like until after the power's back on, the electricity. I mean, there's running water. People are able to get back to their places themselves.
Well, because like a lot of things when it comes to that
then
stuff.
Is the time to say to recover records and information, and that's the big problem with that is that everything is supposed to be in the preparation stage. You're supposed to prepare for the stuff way in advance because no one gives a damn about the records and information. However, those records and information are also the things we use to save people's lives during a storm.
Right.
You know, to make sure a 911 call center is working, they need their records and information in the line. So that's the problem there is that, and nobody does that. Nobody prepares.
No,
buy bottled water a couple of days in advance, you know, bread.
It's one of those things that's like, it's hard to kind of do. especially when it comes to sorry, there was a little bit of audio concerns about people being too hot in terms
me?
Of
probably me.
You're probably a little loud, but we'll adjust a bit.
I'm sorry, I got a little passionate there.
No. It's a bit of audio feedback apparently, and I'm just trying to make sure everything's all configured and such. So I might take a little.
Sorry.
It's okay, Daryl. Do me a favor.
Just cut all that out. Anyways. Yeah.
Cut.
It was just me preaching.
We'll get back to that. But Daryl, cut this out. We'll come back in a second. I'll tell you when to kick it back
okay,
in. While I just do some.
From the microphone.
No. You're fine. Again, this is Skype. Okay. Skype does what Skype will do, and I'm gonna put a solo shot right now while I go to Skype land and lower stuff. No, it's not you. It's this.
No, welcome actually, now I'm apologizing to Logan.
It's okay. Is
there anybody else I can apologize to?
Apparently, it's better now, which is good.
Okay.
I guess it's good. We'll tail you off a bit here in Skype land. We're gonna go back to this. We'll do that. Go do this.
God, how nice it is to have somebody listening.
Yeah, it's also good to have this. All right, Daryl, kicking back now. No, it's interesting, especially when it comes to all of that stuff, and specifically when it, you know, disaster recovery when it comes to records, because people, you talk about the idea of it being, you know, these are important records for 911 stuff, and you're absolutely right, specifically because, like, a lot of people forget that, like, I'm going to ask a question, you don't have to say yay or nay whether you know it.
Okay.
Do you know you could say, you don't have to say what it is, but do you know your blood type off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
And again, there's certain things you, like, you remember maybe, like, you might remember off the top of your head what medicines you're allergic to, and that's if you're conscious to what medicines you're allergic to. If you're not conscious during a crazy hurricane or whatever, and you have a first responder come in here, and it's like, he needs penicillin, and you're allergic to penicillin, you know, that's never a good thing. So those are like medical records are important to keep archival.
Extremely.
And there's not even that, but there's also the idea of if you think about
There was a children's hospital in Hurricane Katrina where they lost all the records, and they had of all the children that were there, and they had to go back and re-examine all of them all over them and recreate all of the records. But that was very critical. I mean, those kids' lives were endangered for the next several months, and you know, this is the recovery phase. Like, you know, what I did recently was the response phase for records. The media throws the term recovery around, but we haven't recovered from Hurricane Katrina.
No.
Recovery lasts decades.
No. When it comes to what's happened in Houston, it will be a very, 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 not a very
absolutely
long time. It'll be a decade or two. You know, when we talk about like what's happened in Mexico in terms of earthquakes in certain areas, which that affected me a bit more because literally I have family that lives in that area. But and by the way, just as a quick thing, all my family in that area is totally fine. But no, you know, even all these things, these hurricanes, stuff like that, like it takes a while for it to fully recover. Like we Katrina is to the point where people are able to live. And that's might be about it, because there's other stuff that comes in recovery, like you're saying, the like regenerating records and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. There's clerk of the courts offices where all the property appraiser records were lost, and people still cannot prove that they own certain plots of land because those records are permanently gone. There's a lot of cases that, I mean, it's just going to take decades. You know, criminal records, people who were charged, who were in prison, they had to escape everyone from this one prison and put them up on an interstate overpass and keep them there. And they had no idea who was, I'm sure some of the correctional officers knew, but in general, they had no records to prove what any one of these inmates had done.
Yeah.
And
the thing is that you think, well, who cares? They're in jail. Totally be fine. But,
yeah.
But then a lawyer could say, well, do you have the records to prove it?
Every scenario you can think of, children, health, the elderly, land, property, financial, I can give you cases for every single one of them of an example where those records have been lost and will never be recovered because those agencies did not prepare in advance.
And again, DR, you know, DR recovery is a strange thing, and DR means disaster recovery. It typically within an IT, just to kind of give the corresponding thing, usually you have, if you've done your things right, and I say it with like a very big thing, if you've done your things right, you'll have a primary, a secondary, and a DR. And a DR is like somewhere else in the world or somewhere else in the continent, you know, for example, you know, usually inland, hopefully underground, maybe someplace where things aren't going to, you know, where natural disasters won't happen. Like maybe you're not going to put it like on a fault line per se, but you get the idea. And it's insane on just doing it on a digital level of like what you have to do it right. And it's even stranger when you kind of go about it and especially just like, again, physical records, like that would scare the crap out of me. Like, how would you archive that?
I mean, the work I do also, it's not just physical records. It's records, it's public information made in, well, particularly I do public records. That's my focus because I really don't care about corporate unless they are conducting the business of official public agency. Then it's public record. But so my concern is, you know, it's all kinds of formats. And you know, what I hear a lot from government agencies is what I do is I help them prioritize what is called their essential records, the records they need within the first two to three hours, and it's separated by days, by weeks, by months. How quickly do you need that information, and then also based off of a priority list, how important is it? And what a lot of agencies don't understand is that they say, well, it's okay, it's all on backup. You know, we've got it on backup, we've got it on another site somewhere, but the problem is, you know, they don't categorize. In many cases, those records are not categorized before they or indexed in a way that they can be retrieved by disaster response needs.
Right.
I've heard trying to find one single record in a backup is like finding a needle in a haystack.
Oh yeah, no. If you don't have any kind of indexing or any kind of search thing, like if you
and
don't have
smaller agencies, yep. Little local. That's usually what I work with is local city. Special districts, that sort of thing. Those people don't. In general, I find those are the ones that. Well, actually, I can't even say that. I could say this: the state level has even made those major errors.
You know, and you know,
it's because they're not listening to IT and they're not listening to the records management.
It's hard. It's one of those things, like all that kind of record treating is. I don't say it's difficult. It requires a lot.
No.
Well, because it requires a lot of just foresight and it's
exactly.
You know.
Well said.
Because you know, the always the common colloquial is like back up your data, back up your files, put it, you know, in three different places if you can, and not everyone does that because it takes actual foresight or sort of thinking about stuff. And usually you hire services to do that, and you hope your services did it right. And sometimes they didn't do it right, and that's happened before. And sometimes you have software that does it, but sometimes you didn't check that software to make sure it's actually doing what it's supposed to be doing, and that's happened before too. And so it's a lot of these sort of things that compound.
And in my case, with public records, some of that software doesn't take in accountability the retention requirements for public records.
Well, because no one configured it to retain, you know, to retain it correctly.
No,
because that's again all these, you know,
and they all would love to say, "I'm sorry, I can't fulfill your Freedom of Information Act order request or your." Your public records request because those records were lost in the storm.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like that,
it's weird.
That's a common thing.
No, so. And again, all this is.
But they shouldn't be.
No, but you know, it's interesting to bring up even this sort of topic when it comes to all the stuff that's gone down in terms of weather, only because it's all of this is part of that same equation. Because you would never think. I mean, obviously. You know, first thing is human life. So it's above all else, no matter what. So, you know,
and pets,
and
livestock.
Pets, right? Anything that has a heartbeat. That let's just say it like that for sake of argument.
Yeah.
But you never think of how critical these records are, or these sort of things, because we almost take for granted that this stuff is readily accessible. Mm-hmm. We're kind of taking for granted the idea of like being able to search things and index stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to just, you know, to hear from you all these sort of things, especially when it came to this, because, you know, there was a point where prior to being on some shows that you sorry, people, if you're wondering what that is, I saw the reflection and I think we have a lone kitty walking around.
Yeah.
Who wants to be part of the podcast too.
I had to save his life yesterday.
Oh, what happened?
Well, it's another just to add to my whole thing of at some point you got to stop telling people things.
That's okay. It's okay. Hopefully I'm glad the kitty's yeah. The kitty's like, thank you. Thank you for saving my life, master. Please give me tuna.
Yeah.
It's okay. But no, okay. But like it's at a point where and I think of the hurricane stuff just because, you know, I would say we have like prior to Irma hitting, was it Irma or God, what was it? We had
Harvey, then Irma.
We had Harvey, Irma, and then we had
Maria.
Mm-hmm. And it was like we had like did you see the news when Harvey was in, you know, coming our way?
Yes.
That it was like we had like three active storms at the same time.
Okay. Yeah.
Like what I mean, like three active storms, I mean like three active potential hurricanes. And
oh, okay.
And it was like, because like we had that, and then and it was just like weird moment of thinking about it, because like Harvey, for me at least, hit closer. I was totally fine, you know, being in Austin, but, you know, I have friends in Houston and I have friends in that. And so you see the water level and you're just like, oh shit.
And the majority of deaths come after the storm has passed.
Well, because it was such as, again, a lot of these sort of things, everything kind of stacks on its own. You know, you have water coming in, mm-hmm. water sort of there. You then have people who are trapped because they really couldn't, you know, they really couldn't.
Really?
It's okay. It's okay. Look, the cat wants to be part of the podcast, Jackie. And one day I will interview your cat. That's going to happen. We're going to have a show where it's going to be me and your cat, and we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss cat issues. We're going to discuss kitty
Such
litter.
As put your cat away before you start a podcast.
We're going to discuss things. We're going to talk about kitty litter, and meow mix. I don't know. I don't know what to talk about with a cat.
I could talk about pet food. No, I found this great pet food that everybody should buy. You have to order it online and you get it shipped to you. It's called Darwin's Natural Pet Food, and it's made of raw meat. It's raw chicken, raw duck or turkey, and it's got every vitamin and nutrient that your cat actually really needs. And anyways, there's a documentary on Netflix called Pet Fooled. Go watch that and you'll see them mention that food.
But oh, God.
You should never feed your pets dry food. Never. And actually, so I pay like $120 for a shipment that gets sent to me with dry ice. And I'm saving so much more money than going to the store and buying the canned stuff. Because in the long run, you know, it lasts you 12 weeks. For $120, that's pretty good. Anyways, and it has extended the life of my 18 and a half year old cat.
Oh wow! No, I mean, yep. I haven't seen that doc. I may have to check it out because I've been seeing it kind of on my feed coming up. But getting back to hurricanes.
Okay. Yeah.
Now that the cat's out of the way, we can get back to hurricanes. On the bright side, hurricanes. No, it was weird seeing it all kind of, you know, that all go down, because it was Harvey, then Irma, mm-hmm. then Maria, then an earthquake. Then you see what happens. Then you see what happens in Puerto Rico. And it's just like all these things kind of just stacked. And And like at a certain point, I was like making the offhand joke because I didn't have any way else to process this, that like the Earth was angry with us, and I don't know why, but it was just, you know, it was fed up with. I mean, there are multiple reasons why. we could go into a long history why Mother Earth would rather get rid of us, but that's an.
Yeah, we could go long, or we could go back, say maybe 9 months. You know,
go back a lot of time.
You take your pick.
There's a lot. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean. I'm sure you heard that the island of Barbuda is completely annihilated. There is no home, nobody living there anymore, and that's a real shame.
Yeah.
And the island of Dominica was annihilated during Maria, and then Puerto Rico lost all of its power.
Yeah, yeah. Puerto Rico was already fucked.
Government.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like the people in charge are not really aware that Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
Well, I don't think a whole lot of people in the United States are kind of aware of what Puerto Rico status is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
could get really angry right now, but I'm not going
to. No, it's fine. Getting angry is totally cool because Puerto Rico is that weird thing of like, I've only kind of understood it. And I've because I have done research into trying to understand it and try to figure out how it fits in the grand scheme of things, because it's a territory, but it's not like it's like a military thing. It's not like Guam, like Guam is a territory as well, but
right.
We, you know, typically that's more military bases and stuff like that. And it's sort of there as our, just in the event Okinawa ever says, you know, all right, get out kind of thing. And that's an entirely different matter, entirely different discussion. But you know, going into like Puerto Rico, it's that weird thing where it's part of the states, but doesn't share any of the benefits of being part of the U.S. And I've never quite understood why. And I've never, I mean, there's legal.
Well, I mean, it's totally up to them if they want to vote for it one way or the other. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get everyone to vote to be for statehood because, you know, it's kind of like, well, once you've done it, you can't go back.
Right. And I think that's the, like, there's a lot of complex issues on it, and we'll just leave it at that. But because of that, because it's there, like, people always assume that we only have like one island kind of thing, like being Hawaii and sort of its chain of islands. When we have multiple, if you call, you count Guam and you count
Puerto
Rico.
We have America Samoa.
Right. America Samoa. That's right. I always forget about it too. And like the hardest part about what happened in Puerto Rico is just it was already screwed. It was already in like bankruptcy and crazy stuff going on as it was. And then you have a hurricane come down at a place that just had, you know, had this aging power infrastructure and all of this. And it's like, I think one of the guys on the RT podcast, Gus Cirola, was talking about a picture, and I may have to find the picture myself, where it shows like a before and after of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And you see like, you know, a nighttime photo. It's like,
lit
up and everything else like that. And then like after it's dark, like they have, like there's a curfew right now between like the hours of 6 PM and I think 5 AM. Not because, keep it like, cause there's no light. And that's something I've never, like, I mean, I've had power go out and we've all had that, where a power has gone out for maybe a few days, but at the most, but like just the idea that
weeks,
months, who knows how long, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because
Key West and there are a lot of places, South Florida.
Yeah.
Still.
It's one of those things where just like it's funny. After Harvey, my power had gone out just for like an hour prior, you know, at the very end of like that, because we got a lot of rain that weekend. I made two big boy purchases. I actually have right now on this computer and my internet uninterruptible power supplies. Like I have battery backups now. And I never thought to buy battery backups until my power went out while I was working remotely. And I was like, well, you know, Let me start investing in these things. And
I had a few really good ones, when I originally lived in Florida, and then I moved out to California, and I took them with me, And I, you know, I moved first moved to Sacramento, and I was like, what the hell did I bring these for? We're never going to lose power.
No, I mean, but that's the thing. Like there are times where
it was weird to rewire myself for California.
I mean, I'm glad that I have them now because they've become useful. They're knowing that at the very least, if my power goes out, that I'll be able to check certain things and charge a battery
down
or two. Shut down, yeah. Gracefully shut down, all that stuff like that. That's becoming
the worst
deal.
Part is the brownouts that come right before the major power outage.
Well, because there's all these, you know, it's everything goes into it. And it was knowing how that worked out, and this was the first time, you know, after that, it was the first time I was like, you know what, let me actually finally invest in this. Let me finally do this as a thing, because I now have a lot more hardware here that I'm like, I feel kind of good if this is on a UPS or something, or at least, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that if power went out, that I could shut my computer down, I could shut down my backup drives, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks weather-wise, and it's weird. I say it's weird in that I don't like. I mean, would you have thought like we would have like, you know, I mean, September traditionally is the most active month, but, you know, did you think you'd be this active? Like, really?
Well, yeah. Actually, I've been waiting for it. I guess the reason I do what I do is because I started out as I was an archivist, you know, during grad school, back during the major storms of 2004, 2005, 2006, and 5 and 6, really, 4 and five really, but because of that, I started focusing on disaster recovery for records, and so then I got involved with the National Archives doing something anyways, and that's why I started working in California doing kind of the same thing. But I remember during those storms when we had, I think it was the year before Katrina, there was Ivan, there was Charlie. Gosh, I should know these names like off the back of my hand. Yeah. I should have them tattooed on my body. But it was week after week after week, 3 weeks or 4 weeks in a row. We were, you know, government was shut down. Everybody had to put trash bags on top of your monitor before you left to go home that day. And you know, it was very nerve-wracking. For particularly Floridians, because, you know, you think about if those of you are listening, you were either part of Harvey or Maria or Irma, you know how much stress you went through to prepare and to deal with that and wait for the storm to pass and then everything afterwards. And then having this back to back, that will make somebody suicidal. Like, nobody likes to have that kind of disruption for that long of a period. But yeah, those storms, we were expecting storms like that for the last decade. So then I get into this profession. I do pretty good for myself. I get involved with a huge grant from Homeland Security, FEMA, National Archives, to provide online training. And then all of a sudden we don't have any storms. And almost a decade goes by, and I'm having to like figure out other ways to make a living, because nobody gives a damn, and they don't care. So when it's really sad. I feel like I'm one of the only people who benefit financially.
No, it's I mean, like horrible thing. You're not the only. Like, ironically enough, you're not the only one who benefits financially from this. Like,
I'd rather be making money playing with puppets, but
no, for sure. But it's.
Oh, well, I would say actually the grocery store chain Publix probably made more money than anybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, because there, even here in Austin, there was like a weird run on water. Like, we in Austin had a strange run on things, which we shouldn't have had any run on. Like, we had a strange run on water just in case things went down, which is like, we're not going to be affected. We're going to have a shitload of rain and it may flood in areas, and that's flash flood areas. And that's totally fine to do this. Like, I was telling my mother, I was talking about it kind of jokingly I, you know, for those who don't know, I live in a second floor apartment in my complex, and I'm in sort of a even on a hill, and I made
so you just need a boat.
Well, I made the comment that if it got to the point where it flooded, you know, to where I was in issue-y, we're talking like Noah, we're talking like biblical proportions. Like it'd be a Noah thing. Like this is the ocean at that point. Like something has gone horribly, horribly wrong with the world. And that's the place you should live. And at that point, you know, Jackie, at that point, then I'm going to become Kevin Costner. I'm going to go Gills, and I'm going to ride on a really, really weird post-apocalyptic.
You're going to remake that film and make it right this time.
There is no way to make that film right. That is such a horrible movie. Fuck Waterworld.
It really is horrible.
It's a bad, because it's already a weird movie in it being, like, so again, bad. Is that because Waterworld
is... isn't it like 4 hours long?
Well, because it's strange in that, like, the art, the style is so... like weirdly disjointed, and we had a little bit of a dip, people, in terms of my bandwidth for some reason. Something happened where it's okay. We're back. All this is recorded, so if it dipped in the live one, I apologize.
Hey, it's just a Jackie show. It doesn't matter.
It's okay. No, we have recorded. It's recording a file right now. It just dipped in the feed, and I apologize, people, for that. But hey, internet. No, the weird part of Waterworld is that, you know, it was this post-apocalyptic world. It was as if, like, Mad Max and global warming happened.
Yeah.
And someone said, well, what if the entire – like, basically someone watched global warming and saw that be a thing and the idea of the ice caps melting and said, like, well, what if that happened and we made a post-apocalyptic world where basically we take everything that made Mad Max a movie and flush that out to the ocean? Because that's all
was
that it, was.
Was it the Exxon Valdez in there in that movie?
Something. Because it
like
was
it was a rusted old ship that was floating around. It
something
said
like that. There is because it was the idea was that though. It was like it's the quest for gas and you could trade in land as a resource. I guess because you could use land to grow food and that makes sense at least. But it was this strange world that never really quite explained itself and never quite explained why is it that Kevin Costner is the only one that evolved to have gills? Like, what was it that made him who he was? You know, was it...
I forgot about that.
That's the part people forget. Because if you have mutants in your world, you have to explain them. Even Fallout had the decency of like, well, radiation did a thing and it was the 50s science fiction. Who gives a shit? Like, okay, fine. You've at least explained how you get ghouls and through radiation poisoning. You've at least explained that in your world mechanics. I don't quite remember how Kevin Costner's character got gills. Like did his mother fuck a fish? Was he a fish that turned human? Like, how did this work? And I want to know.
I'm gonna fuck me a fish.
Look, I don't care if that's what they want to do.
Final thought.
Look, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. I'm not gonna judge. Perhaps there are other things that you can, you know, have, you know, sexual relationships with. Maybe not a fish. I don't know how that'd work. Maybe they may, you know, because it can't be a dolphin, because dolphins don't have, like, anyways. I realize I just went on tangent talking about fucking water.
Although, dolphins, I've heard of, there's a comedian that I know that has said that when he was a kid, a dolphin tried to rape him.
That's come up many a times with dolphins. Dolphins get a bit, from what I understand, dolphins can get a bit aggressive. Which is again, that's their nature. That's how they roll. Like, look, they're fellow mammals. That's how they want to roll. That is their call. Not how I want to roll, but you know. But yeah, going, you know, getting back on topic. It's whatever topic that is.
Fucking fish.
Fucking fish. Yeah, that's the topic. No, but yeah, you're right that it's become, you know. It became enough of a slog that, you know, it's just like that much disruption no one can handle. And, you know, dealing with all stuff. But yeah, here in Austin, like I said, like we're talking about like preparedness. Like we had a weird rush on water, but like for a period of time, and it affected me because the next week I was going to visit my parents in San Antonio. I couldn't because I couldn't get gas. But not because we had nothing wrong with our pipeline. This is the messed up part, Jackie. we had nothing wrong with the pipeline. We had nothing wrong with the distribution channel. Everything was fine. But somehow on some social media site, I don't even know where it originated from, and I want to find this out so bad. Someone said, you better fill up on gas because it's going to go bye-bye. Something like that. And it got to the point. This is how bad, how fucked up sometimes people are in Austin.
Yep.
And in the world when a resource feels like it's scarce. People were filling up water cubes. Like, you know those giant things you're supposed to put water in that they're like whatever? Mm-hmm. People putting gas in that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now I know that none of you that some of you out there are like are understand how dangerous that is because you know science and sort of things like that. But for those who don't know how dangerous it is, that is extremely dangerous. Because people forget that gasoline is a solvent.
Mm-hmm.
And that the containers that we have to hold gas
yep.
are designed to contain that and not erode and not fucking dissolve.
It's like the lesson Jesse Pinkman learned about acid and porcelain.
God, I love that. That might be my favorite scene is that one, because it's like because Walter comes back. It's like, you fucking moron. Did you learn anything in my class? Did you pay attention? If you had paid attention, we wouldn't be in this shit. Now we gotta figure out where to put this, because like I love that became so bad that. That like when who was it? It was it not Combo at the time. Who was it that was the two
Badger?
Badger and I forget the other guy's name. The other
Skinny Pete.
Like they're there and like, man, your house smells, dog. And it's just like, yeah, because there was a dead body. You know, you can't say it. You can't say yeah, because we were dissolving fucking a human body in the tub, and I was a jackass. But it was so funny and. But yeah, and so when I saw that, I was like, oh, because it wasn't like that was a one-time thing. It was like many people were running on gas and doing this kind of weird thing. And I was seeing these pictures. I'm just like, I hope none of my neighbors did anything crazy like that, because I don't, people don't realize how flammable gas fumes are and all these kind of things. And it's just like. It was such this like moment of like weird panic of like, why are we panicking about this? Because like it happened, like the post went on, and then immediately like the news cycles came on and said like, yeah, this is not a thing. We've actually called officials and they're like, no, this ain't a thing. We've actually called the gas companies, like, no, this ain't a thing. Like all these sort of things are just like, none of this was an issue. And it was just this strange moment in all this.
The thing with the gas is that the tankers are put on hold while the storm is in the Gulf or right. in the Atlantic or anywhere near it. Once the storm has passed, those tankers come right up. It's within hours, and they are filling the gas back up. So that was the thing, is that for Florida in particular, during Irma, it was bad. I guess I'll go ahead and divulge this, but my parents live in Tallahassee. And I do a lot of work at the Capitol there or whatever. So I came to stay with them because they're elderly, and they were like, oh, no, we're not going anywhere. We're going to ride this out no matter what. So I thought it'd be good to station myself there, make sure that they had gas, they had ice, they had water, they had everything. And then I'd be there to go wherever. We thought the storm was going to go straight up through the center part of Florida, which is really bad for Florida, but also would slow down faster. And then it started to look more and more like it was moving west and was going to go back in the Gulf, which would regenerate it, and it would have hit Tallahassee directly. During that time, everybody from South Florida had evacuated, as one should do, and went up the interstate. The interstates were blocked. I almost booked a hotel in Tallahassee a week in advance, thinking of this in mind. So my parents would have somewhere with possibly air conditioner or a generator. Right. But they booked up, of course. They were booked all the way to Birmingham, Alabama. And so when that storm started to turn a little westward, it was definitely a major tropical storm, and places in Central Florida didn't even get hit as bad as North Central Florida. But on top of that, the population quadrupled
Yep.
Because everyone from, you know, Fort Myers and Naples and Tampa were in the area. And that's why I said Publix made so much money, because every item, peanut butter was out. I actually took photos of the grocery store because it was actually kind of funny. There was really absolutely nothing on the shelves. So at that point, when the storm started to approach, it almost looked like there would have been possibly 100 mile an hour, 90 mile an hour winds, which is, you should evacuate, but you can't. You can't, because there's so many other people there and they need to evacuate too. So it's a really scary thing. And I think the state of Florida and even Texas should think about taking some of the cruise ships and taking people out via cruise ships and getting them off the road.
Well, that's sort of why, and people kind of criticized Houston for, like, why didn't they evacuate? It's like, if you looked at Katrina as an example, they tried, mm-hmm. they did that, and more people died on, you know, on the way out than on the way, you know, in town. Not saying that it's yes. the idea of how do you evacuate these very densely populated metropolises? Like, how do you handle it? You
know, and there were deaths, there were shootings at gas stations because yep. people were losing their goddamn minds. And they couldn't get gas. People were sleeping on exits of, you know, the rest stops on the interstates because they couldn't get a hotel. And they sat in their car through the eye of the storm. You know, they're just, I know that in the future, a lot of those people who evacuated during Irma are not going to do it next time, because it took them days and weeks to get back. Yeah. And, you know, unless you could fly out, if you're rich enough to fly out.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, thankfully, I think, I don't know if I know Southwest did it in Houston. I don't know if they did it in
JetBlue
Florida as well.
Did. JetBlue, yeah.
Because I know Southwest had, like, flying basically anyone that was trying to get the heck out of that area after
the fact. Yeah, it was $99.
Yeah. Well, they did it for free, actually. I think Southwest did it for free. Okay. Something like that. Something along those lines where they comped it, which was, like, really.
That's more of a Southwest kind of thing to do than.
Yeah, I'll have to double check South, only because I just want to make sure. I'm almost certain Southwest. Hurricane Harvey. Let's see. Yeah, I think they did it. I'll just double check. I'll do a double check later. But I think that I remember hearing that somewhere. Mm. But yeah, it was a messed up time. We're almost out of time, Jackie.
Yeah, but, I realize that.
But it's okay. But we're gonna talk about one last thing before we go,
okay.
Because we were prior to the show beginning, and not even during the pre-show, but during, like, the non-recorded "Hi Jackie, how's it going?" portion.
Oh yes. We've been talking about when there's all these terrible storms, terrible things, you gotta escape, right?
Yes. What has been your recent escape? Because I told you mine, and for those who are curious, I've been playing I bought a Nintendo Switch recently, so I'm playing a whole lot of Breath of the Wild and having a ton of fun. And
I was telling you that I'm so envious. I want to.
It's
weird.
It's weird. It's bizarre playing a Zelda game, and I think it's weird playing a Zelda game. And even I did this during Fallout, but it's so weird playing a Zelda game, seeing something in the distance and saying that looks cool, I should go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then making my way, preparing to go there.
That's why I liked Skyrim too.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why I love Fallout. Fallout's that same idea where it's like a lot of times I've not beaten Fallout 4 or even New Vegas because I will get roped into something. I'll find some weird thing. I'll find a vault. I'll hit a thing. I'm like, what's in here? What's that? What's this? Mm-hmm. What's that? You know, kind of trigger. I thankfully I've gotten further enough where I can, you know, there's quests and whatever, but. When it comes to Breath of the Wild, like, kind of once you get past the opening sort of section, which you could skip if you wanted to. You could theoretically skip it if you wanted to speedrun it, which would be insane. But once you're done with that, you're given kind of the main quest of, like, go. If you want to go fight Calamity Ganon, you can go on ahead and do that thing. I would recommend you don't. You may want to go check out these people, and then you find out other kind of subquests to make your life easier. But there's nothing stopping me. And I almost made it to Castle Hyrule, where the evil is, just to kind of see. There's shit in between that'll kill me, very easily kill me. But there's nothing that says I have to do it. And it's so It's like playing the original Zelda again, and I think that's what's kind of fun. Like, it's almost like playing like the first time I played Zelda, and I've not felt that in a while in a Nintendo game. Not because I haven't had fun playing Nintendo games. A lot of Nintendo games are iterative in terms of their mechanics and how they do things, but playing Breath of the Wild has just been this like ridiculously fun game, and that's what I hear. I'm probably gonna start streaming it now and kind of back only because I've gotten a little bit further in the game. I'm definitely gonna stream another game I purchased only because I never played it and I've not played the original even on the Wii U and I didn't play a whole lot online. I'm definitely gonna stream my experience with Splatoon 2 because that's kind of an online game and I'm really curious how that works out as sort of me playing a weird online game. But you had a different distraction. You've been on the I've been on the console side. You've been on the mobile side. What have you been?
I wish I had a console. I used to have everyone. Actually, back when I used to live with my ex-current former whatever. I don't want to.
That's fine. That's okay.
But you know, he's a past life player as well. Yeah. So I played all kinds of games. Back in the day. Grand Theft Auto is another one that I used to love because I would go around and I would just look and play everything or pick up all the stuff. And then when it got to the points where you had to actually beat a boss or do a thing and I couldn't do it because I'm just getting, I can't shoot.
When you actually had to
give
do a mission.
I give it to him. He would
because ultimately
that,
GTA was
so
like
I could get to the next part.
Every GTA beyond 3, 3 being the 3D version, 3 and above became this sort of like weird, like it was this kind of game that after a while you just kind of fucked around in.
Yeah.
And it's just like you would put the cheat codes
punch
in.
Punch people in the face.
You put the cheat codes in and just like, well, let's see how many stars I can get. Boom. And like, you know, because the idea was. And
see how many tanks could
come. Well, because that was the thing. Like what I loved about Grand Theft Auto and what I love about the idea of
trying to find the right spot so that you could just sit.
What I love about Grand Theft Auto is when you're at 4 or 5 stars, you're not just a threat to the city anymore. You're a threat to national security. And I love the idea that one lone person, one lone character can become a threat to national security in a matter of minutes. Yes. Where it's like, we got to like the point where it's like, we got to send the military after this motherfucker because they are wreaking havoc. Like I that's been one of my favorite concepts since GTA
One.
Well, just the idea of like who like the idea of like Mr. President, yes. We have a man in Los Santos that is just wreaking havoc. He is destroying everything. You know, scramble jets, send in the bombs. Like, I love that idea because it's like it's the point where it's like, we've sent the SWAT team in. They can't do shit. Send in the tanks. Like, wow. That is something. There's something special about the idea that you are that level of a threat to the world at large. And that was always my mission. Was like, how just the idea of like, I've gotten to 5 stars. They've sent the military in. That is how much of a problem I am to this world.
I think it was San Andreas where I spent a long time just going to the blackjack table
really?
In Vegas and playing blackjack. No,
it's fine. I did a lot of, I played a lot of poker.
Made a lot of money, got a lot of nice clothes.
I played a lot of poker in Red Dead. Red Dead for sure was where I played a lot of the gambling. Because one of the mechanics in Red Dead Redemption is because if you had the right suit on, you could actually like palm cards or like, you know, do trick shuffles and shit like that, depending on your skills. You could try to actually cheat, which is always kind of fun. But yeah, there's many times. But yeah, playing Breath of the Wild has just been that kind of experience where it's like, I know what I need to do to progress the game, and I'm starting to do that. But there's certain things I'm like, well, there's a side quest I need to do, and because the game kind of gives you only like 3 main quests for the most part, there's only so many main quests, and there's like a bunch of side quests that kind of come up. A lot of the things are you'll get to the map is kind of in this sort of cloud of darkness, for lack of better words. And you have to kind of find these towers to sort of scan the area and give you a full map. But as you're kind of looking around, you'll see these sort of towers in the distance, these shrines in the distance, these sort of points of interest in the distance that aren't flagged. But you'll see them, you go like, oh, there's a shrine. And you kind of tag it in your map and you can kind of follow a waypoint there. But it makes for just a fun thing of just like you look around and you know like, oh, I haven't been there yet. Let's see if I can get there. Like, there's one point where I was trying to find a tower to get to an area to kind of reveal something. And between me and the tower were these like super powerful enemies, like things that would, you know, can kill me in a single hit. And that happens very often in the game. But I barely got to the thing, and I barely converted to points like where I didn't get killed, and I revealed all I needed to reveal where I could teleport back or something and sort of fast travel back to where I needed to go. And it was like the most satisfying feeling of like, yes, I've done it. Haha, suck it, enemies. But yes, your distraction. Totally. What has been yours?
Oh, well, so since I'm just stuck with my iPhone 7 to play games. God, it's so embarrassing.
No, it's not. This is how people make... Well, these are all... There is no embarrassment. Whatever game you play, there's no embarrassment unless...
Well, I used to play a lot of Sims back in the day. But when I played that game, what I liked about it was being able to wall people off.
God, you're one of those cruel people.
Put an oven or a fire.
God, that is still the I'm sorry, Jack, and we've had this conversation before, but that is still the most disturbing thing anyone ever did in those games.
I find a lot of people did that. I mean, it was just...
I know, my cousin...
It's not because I want to hurt anyone or have any desire to do that, but I think it has to do with just finding out what... It's almost as if you want to break the game. Like, you... Like,
no,
you
it's
shouldn't
fair.
Be able to do that. And in the iPhone, it's called Sims Free Play. You can't.
No,
you
of can't, course. Yeah.
You can't even, like, they get, like, you can run down all of their, you know, hygiene and, you know, happiness and all that. And they walk around like, boo. But they don't, it doesn't do anything to them. They can still go to work.
They can go to work with a stink cloud around them.
But I have
because, like,
in Sims, and the reason is because I've been stuck in airports or stuck, you know, waiting on somebody, and so I've been playing it, and also, you know, I've had some sad stuff going on in my life, and I find, you know, man, I really kind of want to get back into playing games at least a couple hours a night just to take my mind off of things, and, you know, I don't know. I think it's a lot healthier than drinking, I will tell you that.
No, and I think that's the thing, is that, like that's why I'm like, if you play Sims, if that's your thing, rock and roll. There's actually a mobile game I've been sort of playing called Battle Jack, which is sort of a weird – it's from the guys that – I think it's called a Nexon game. I have to double-check the company. But it's like a weird free-to-play game where you have your kind of squad of heroes, if you will. And the way you charge them up is by playing blackjack with certain cards and all different kind of cards that, like, suits that power up different abilities and different kind of character classes. And it's strange because, like, you get blackjack, it's like, you know, like 20x multiplier damage or whatever. It's like, that's kind of weird, but it's a very strange RPG mechanic of, like, you know, the RNG is has to deal with cards. And because of that, it's like, okay, there's this interesting element of that. And that's kind of becoming an interesting concept, the idea of how you deal with RNG in these games in an interesting way, because all of them are, you know, random number kind of things. But I never got into Sims as much as everyone else did, because like I was always a SimCity guy. Like, I always loved...
I've played SimCity.
Like, SimCity's always been my thing, and I never got into Sims as much as everyone else did, because I was just like more interested with the city.
I played it a lot on the Dreamcast.
That's okay. The Dreamcast was ahead of its
way
time.
Way back.
But yeah, it's weird. Again, I always found it horrifying that I'd have friends that were like, look what I'm killing this sim in a giant furnace, and I'm going to drown it. It's like, yeah, okay, I guess.
I mean, it's not like I spent hours doing
no,
that.
No, but it was like, for me, it would be.
Oh, and also having them have affairs on each other and try to keep them from entering the same room at the same time.
That's different. That is you living out your that is you playing not a fantasy, but just like, you know what? Well, because, like, that's the appeal of fucking soap operas is like, you know. That is.
I do not like soap operas.
Right, but I don't like soap operas either. But
Catch Fire, but it's a soap opera.
Right, I don't like soap operas either. But I enjoy, like, wrestling, and WWE is basically a soap opera. And in the grand scheme of things, of how things are presented, it's the idea of, like, it's a fiction you're engaged in, and. You know, in game, especially Sims, because you're able to kind of set the script, you're just like, all
right. Right, and it's to just see everything you could possibly do to the game that you wouldn't normally, you know, I don't know.
No, and I get that. I get the
else
idea
is doing the same
I,
thing.
I fully get breaking the game.
Part of the game.
Yeah, I fully get breaking the game.
That's the game.
It just was like, I just could never stand the horrors and the screams.
And honestly, I've never played a Sims game for more than a certain, until I felt like, all right, well, I've seen a baby die.
No,
I've seen a cat die.
Well, because like, what honestly, I think I would like the only thing I would want to like if I were to kill a sim in a game, it'd be Sims 3 because it's at that level they started having the cool mechanic of Sims haunting you, and I'm like, that's kind of cool. I like the idea of having a ghost sim.
I thought they did that before, but
maybe they had it before. But I know 3, like it was.
Oh
like,
yeah, and that's the thing. I would have this whole room. It'd be filled with like tombstones.
I'm shaking my head in shame. Shaking my head in shame.
And then I'd put a door there.
I mean, do you realize how crazy that sounds? Like imagine if like Jackie, gone. Imagine if like let's say Tomas Merritt, Tom Merritt, podcast extraordinaire, came to you, Jackie, and said, "Hey, Jackie, I need some help with something." And you're like, "Cool." Like, you think it says you with an archival retrieval or some type of thing. Flies you out there. It's like, this is my room of tombstones. Like, what would you do?
Could you just go in there and make a dish on the oven, even though you have no cooking skills? I'm just going to take this door away from you.
Jackie Hearn, everybody, thank you so much for being on the show. Tell people where they can find you. No, we are actually out of time, Jackie. Do tell people where you can find online.
You can find me, what's the best place? Elo.com.
Are you doing Elo now? Is that the network, the social network? Like, look, if you're committing to Elo, I'm okay. I have an Elo account.
I've been getting these emails saying that people have been adding me. And
I've been
like,
getting them too. I've been wanting to get more into Elo. There's only because I still love them and their there are networks I love because of what they do and what they believe in, and Elo is one of them. And I only wish I had a decent third party client. That's the only reason why I don't use Elo as much, because it's like I use Twitter only because I have Tweetbot. If I didn't have Tweetbot, you wouldn't see me on Twitter at all, because I fucking hate the main Twitter client. But seriously, Jackie, thank you so much for being
Jackie Hearn 81 on Twitter.
Okay, of course. You can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on Twitters and in the chat room. If you want to catch previous podcasts, you can go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, previous episodes, and of course, you can go to patreon.com/8bitlife and help the show become bigger, better, and more awesomer. So that is it for today. So tune in next time, talk another geek lesson completely and utterly random. Bye, people!
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.
So that is it for today. So tune in next time, talk another geek lesson completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
Don't die in a Sims fire.
Don't die in a Sims fire. Bad thing to die in a Sims fire.